We're still in Psalm 119. We'll be for a little bit. And some of you are saying, what is Dalet? When I said, do you have Gimel or Dalet? When I was talking to Susan. And if you look at the top of the outline that was passed out here this morning, it will say Dalet on top of it. Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32, part 4, Dalet. Remember that each of the sections here, and in most Bibles they're broken down. Sometimes you'll even have the Hebrew letter there as well as the English name of that letter. But each of the verses in those sections begins with that particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the original language. So in verse 25 it says, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me or make me alive, thou me according to thy word. Now let's look at that a little bit. The translation here is a little awkward. Somebody has something different. Please read verse 25 if you have a New American Standard or something else. Okay, Renee, go ahead.
I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word.
Okay, low in the dust. The idea is that he's buried. That he's entombed, if you will. In the dust. And he says, make me alive according to thy word. The guy is not dead, obviously. We have the same thing in Jonah, chapter 2, where he's praying and he's in the fish. And he's praying, we're dealing with a prayer of repentance. We're dealing with, God's deliverance from that situation. But he talks about the fish being his grave and uses language not too dissimilar from this. The idea that I'm on the verge of death, I am as good as buried, is what he's saying here. And he says, quicken me, make me alive, deliver me. Sometimes the language is a little bit awkward in some of these in this particular psalm, because you have to have each of the verses begin with that letter. And so sometimes it's a little bit awkward in the phrasing, but he's communicating the same truth. It's just it has to be phrased in a particular way. He says in verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. If we have a yielded heart, if I want to do what God wants me to do, he says, I told you. This is the psalmist saying that he's made his request and so on to God. And he says, you answered me. Very often we pray and we ask God. We had a number of requests here this morning for healing, for evangelism, and thanksgiving for what God has done and a number of other things like that. Sometimes we pray and ask the Lord for direction. And usually that's a private thing. We don't usually spread that one out too much, depending on what the issue is. But we ask God for some direction. And we need to be very careful. How do I know what God, all things being equal, as far as we're not dealing with a sin issue, we're not dealing with issues of right and wrong necessarily. How do I know what God wants me to do? If it is a matter of right or wrong, if it's a matter of obedience, it's very simple. You just do what God tells you to do, or not do what God tells you not to do. It's a very simple thing. I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if I should get involved in this relationship. Well, is the person saved? No, but, well, there's your answer. There's a lot of these things that it's very straightforward. It's very simple. And then there's some other things where I'm just not sure what God... And you got to be careful in reading biographies and some other things. I've known people that were convinced that... they could draw lots and determine, they did that in the Bible, some. And, if I draw lots, I can find out what God wants me to do. I've read a number of Christian biographies, some great people from past generations. And I can think of one guy in particular, and he made a disastrous mistake. It was a horrible outcome and everything. And, he was wanting to do something, and what did he do? He drew lots. And he should have done the exact opposite of what he did, and it turned out to be a disastrous situation. Our sole rule is the Bible. This is what we are to... Now, here's the other thing we've got to be careful of. God, show me in your word something. Show me a sign. And you look down and you try to draw some conclusion from where your finger lies. Folks, that's like reading tarot cards. All right? We have matters of right and wrong. We have matters of instruction that God gives regarding specific things. We are to follow those things. We are to do what God says. And God always rewards those things. My word shall not return unto me void. You talk to somebody, you share the gospel with somebody. Oh, and awful. Well, wait and see. You never know. Most people I've known that have come to know Christ as Savior, it was not the first time they heard the gospel. And there's bits and pieces, there's a chain of events and a chain of bits of information that you get. And God uses those. God honors His word. God also uses providence. That's something we don't hear too much anymore. The Puritans, our forebears, Christian forebears, were big in the idea of providence. What in the world is providence? It's God's working in circumstances to bring about a particular thing. All right? I'll give you a great example that we're all party of. This place. All right? For 3.5 years, we have been enduring noise and interruption and a number of other things. And we have tried our best to make that work, and it was functional, but uncomfortable and awkward and a stumbling block. And then some things came along, and we had looked at a bunch of different places, and none of them were going to work for us. We were looking to buy. There wasn't room. It had a bunch of steps. The building was in lousy condition. There was just all these different things that prevented us from following. Sometimes it went off the market. Somebody else bought it first before we had a chance to even have a look at it thoroughly. Just a number of issues came up to take all those things off the plate. Okay, part of that is the providence of God. Removing all those other places, that's the providence of God. And then we got to move. We've got to move. And so, well, let's see what else there is available. We're even open to renting. And bang, this place opens up. Okay, providence of God. God working in circumstances. Necessity pushing us into the place that God has for us. Now, He's done that with us as a congregation. He does that to us as individuals. As we have yielded hearts, as I have a will to obey. It isn't, God, show me what you want me to do, and I may or may not do it. If I have a yielded heart, if I'm willing to do what God wants me to do, God will open doors and close doors and direct you as to what you ought to be doing. I know God deals with different people differently. I have never in my Christian life come to the end of a road and not known what to do by the time I got there. The circumstances have dictated it, or it was a matter of right and wrong. I have always known when the time came to make the choice what to do when we get to that point. Now, I might not have known 20 minutes before, but God worked in the circumstances at the moment so that it was beyond a doubt what I ought to do, because there was no other choice, or it was a matter of right and wrong. It was a matter of obedience. So, God, I need to know what you want me to do. I came and I brought my request before you. I declared my ways that you heard me. And then he says, throws this in, teach me thy statutes. The psalmist has a yielded heart. The psalmist wants to know God's word. The psalmist wants to know, God, what am I to do? In this circumstance, what am I to do? Am I to go here? You know, whatever it might be. God, what am I to do? Most of the time, you will find the answers here. Either in principle or a direct command. You will find the answers here. And that's why he says there at the end of that, of verse 26, teach me thy statutes. Lord, teach me your word. The better grasp we have of the word of God, the less perplexing our circumstances and our lives become. And we just need to be busy doing what we know we're supposed to be doing now. And God, and with a yielded heart. And God will direct accordingly. And it always, and again, very often, we serve a God at the last minute. All right? I saw this played out in the last month. We've seen this played out this week. The chairs came very unexpectedly on Friday. I wasn't expecting it. It happened. We wanted to have that banner hanging because we just had our sandwich boards. I needed to have a banner out here, and it was ready on Friday. And I even had somebody build the little thing and put the hardware in. It all came together. Everything was ready on time. By the time we needed it, it was here. And God does all those things. He supplies. He meets the needs. Teach me thy statutes. And part of that is also learning to trust the Lord by recognizing the fact that he is trustworthy, that he always comes through. He is trustworthy in our lives. Verse 28, since God is trustworthy, he says, I'm sorry, let's look at verse 27. Back to the idea of teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts so that I may talk of thy wondrous works. As we read and study the Bible, we need to understand it. I remember as a new believer, before I was even in church, before I had anybody teach or disciple me, I knew I was supposed to read my Bible as a new believer. And so I read my Bible through. Did I learn a lot? I learned a lot. Was I mystified by probably the vast majority of what I read? Absolutely. I didn't have anybody to teach me. And I just had a plain old text Bible. And so what did I do when I reached the end of it? Shrug my shoulders and say, oh well, it's a mystery to me. No, I started over again. And, by the time I got through the second time, I was involved in a Bible study and some other things, and people began to explain to me some of the perplexities that I was dealing with. And then somebody bought me a study Bible. And that was a huge help. And being able to find out and learn. Now, we want to learn the Word of God. We want to understand what it's saying. In part for what it says here in the second part of the verse. It says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Help me to understand what your Word is saying. So that I shall talk of thy wondrous works. If I am going to be effective in communicating God's word to other people, in my conversations with people, in sharing the gospel, if I'm going to be effective in doing that, I need to have a grasp of God's word. I need to have a grasp of the gospel. I need to be able to explain it, not just, well, I think it means this, and that's why I was talking about we need to know those verses. We need to hide God's word in our heart. We need to know what it says and be able to explain it. And I think we're going to have to do this one. The next evening series is going to be basic theology. Say, didn't you just do that? About every 3 years, I do basic theology. We need to know why we believe what we believe. And we need to be reminded of it. You say, well, I already know all. We need to be reminded of it. We need to know thoroughly why we believe what we believe so that we can communicate it to others, number one. And number two, so we don't get deceived ourselves. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a very well-known preacher in London, gospel preacher, he was a holdout as far as the gospel. He pastored up until, I think, into the mid-80s. And he said that preachers need to read theology. Preachers do. Need to read theology to keep them orthodox, to keep them sound in the faith, because it is very easy to wander off onto some hobby horse or something that we read about or heard about or get fixated on. We need to make sure that we don't deviate as far as the truth is concerned. And we need to have a grasp of it in the first place. So we need to have that so that we can communicate that to others. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 28. What time we got? Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. the idea of melting. Some of the commentators said this is the idea of crying, of weeping. I think it might be sometimes just the. I know I have. And I'm sure that probably some of you have just been so emotionally overwhelmed by a particular circumstance that you had to sit down or you just collapsed to the floor. You just totally overwhelmed by the circumstances. Overwhelmed by grief, overcome by anxiety, overcome by the circumstances that you find yourself in. And during time of grief, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness, for the grief, for the pressure that's on my heart and my soul. He says, strengthen thou me according to thy word. God has promises in his word to us. We have sources of comfort. We have sources of strength in God's word. And we can take God at his word. We can take God at his promise. When he says these things, it's so. One of the great comforts we have is that there's a resurrection. One of the great comforts we have is I will never leave you nor forsake you. That I have everlasting life at the moment I trust Christ as Savior. We have a source of great comfort and strength. There is strength to be found in God's word. And as we struggle with different things, we need to make sure that we are... It's good to have people to be a help and encouragement to us. The Bible talks about that too. That's in Proverbs and some other places. But our chief source of comfort and encouragement ought to be God's word, God's promise, God's faithfulness. Think about people who are in prison today for the sake of the gospel. And in some countries, in no anticipation of ever being released. They have no idea. For all they know, tomorrow they'll be marched out and stood up against a wall and shot. They might be used for biological experiments in some of these countries. That's actually going on. They might just be left in there for years and years and years. They have no certainty of tomorrow. What do they have? They have the promise of God. They have the fact that God, even if they're alone in a cell, they have the best of all companions because the Lord is with them. And so we need to recognize that God is a comfort, and he has the promises there in his word. There's a source of strength in the word of God. Okay, we're going to go ahead and close with that. Hang on to your notes, and I'll try to have hey for you next week, because that's the next letter. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the promises that we have. And Father, I know that we're always, I think in some ways, struggling. Where do I find what I need for the moment? And Father, we can read through the Bible dozens of times and sometimes still struggle to find the great treasures that are there, and yet they're there. Father, I pray that we would strive to study and learn your word, that we might find the promises that are applicable to our needs. And Father, we can get other resources as well as far as helping us to find these things. Father, thank you for your word. May we learn it, may we know it. And Father, may it be our source of direction and comfort. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.